We have just gone through and finished up the holiday that is considered Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving time. And as I've said so many times, I do enjoy that holiday because of the thankfulness that we can have in our hearts to the Lord for all the goodness and all the grace that He has bestowed upon us. But immediately following that holiday, and even now before that holiday, we hear much about the Christmas season. And we certainly are in that season. All you have to do is go to the stores. All you had to do is go out Friday. You realize you're in that season of going after the presents and the gifts. And I saw some of the things that took place in some of the malls. And I don't know of anything in a mall or a store that is that important to me to get trampled and get killed for. I guess it's that important for some people, but not that much for me. And so we're in that season of Christmas. And I'm afraid the season of Christmas that we are going to experience is much different than the season of Christmas that is given to us in the Word of God. We are celebrating that period of time because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His coming and what He did. And there's so much involved in the birth of our Lord that it just continues to grow when you study the Scripture and find all the things that's involved in His first coming. And this morning I want us to take the Bible and go to the book of Isaiah. And I entitled the message Isaiah's Christmas Message. But the more I developed it, the more I studied, the more I realized there's much more to it than just the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I guess this could just really be an overview of the life of Christ. Isaiah, an Old Testament prophet, a great prophet of God, one of the great books of prophecy in the Scripture. And he gives us the problems that Israel was having, and he gives us a provision of a deliverer that would come and give deliverance to the Lord. And, of course, that's where we find our thoughts concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah is a very unique book in the Old Testament. Isaiah has been compared many times. Of course, Isaiah 53 has been entitled The Little Gospel because of the wording of Isaiah 53 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and His crucifixion. The book of Isaiah has been called the Little Bible, even within itself. Our Bible has 66 chapters, or 66 books. Isaiah has 66 chapters, and it has a natural division between chapter 39 and chapter 40. There's 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Isaiah has that same division that is given to us in the entire Scripture. Isaiah is a prophetical book. It tells of the coming of the Lord, and it's a prophetical book because it tells of the end of this world and how the Lord is going to reestablish. And Isaiah's favorite topic, all the way from chapter 1 through 66, Isaiah's favorite topic is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He can be seen in many, many different ways in the verses that we can read when we open in chapter 1 all the way through. It sets us up to a point of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look in chapter number 1 just as a beginning verse of reading, and we will see some things of the condition that Isaiah was living in when the Lord spoke to him and gave him these words. The Bible says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." Now, Isaiah puts us in the position of where he was. He was a contemporary to these different kings that lived in Israel, that ruled in Jerusalem. He was contemporary to Uzziah, to Jotham, to Ahaz, and to Hezekiah. Those four men were kings of Israel as Isaiah was the prophet of God to Judah. Now, three of those kings, the Bible says, they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But one of those kings, the Scripture tells us that he did that which was not right, or did that which was evil, and that was Ahaz. And so we find that Isaiah is living in a time sometimes of prosperity from God and sometimes from the judgment of the Lord upon his people. And so he tells us here that's the setting. Now the message is in verse number 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished, I have brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they have gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been clothed, neither bound up, nor mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Jerusalem, of Zion, is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Notice verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers. We'll stop reading there. In these verses of the first chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah pictures a nation that is in a terrible condition without God. It pictures a nation that their cities are desolate. Their country is being destroyed. And wickedness is everywhere. And Isaiah came to the conclusion, except God had left a remnant, that they would be overthrown and they would be destroyed just like Sodom and Gomorrah. So Isaiah, he believed the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. He believed what is given to us in the Old Testament about the wickedness of those cities, and he referred to it here in the first chapter of Isaiah that unless God had given them a remnant, that remnant of believers, that remnant of people that trusted and loved God, he said God would have destroyed us just like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. And so here the story is that Isaiah is in a world that is totally eliminating the presence of the Lord from themselves, but yet Isaiah gives them a message in chapter number 1, verse number 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured. Now here we find Isaiah gives them the condition of the land. He gives them the condition of the people, and he gives them a way of escape. Come now, let us reason together. If you go on over, and this is just sort of a, probably this morning, a summation or a overview of the book of Isaiah as we're thinking about the message that he gave to this people that was so wicked and so turned away from God that he says they are on the verge of being annihilated. They're on the verge of being totally destroyed. But in the midst of all of those things, God has a remnant. And I believe where we are this morning in our country and in this world, there is a remnant of God's people that are serving God, that love God. We may not be mighty as far as number, but thank God we have a mighty God that can take care of us and can deliver and help us when all the world around us is faltering and failing and literally dying, going to hell. God can deliver his people. And so this is the hope that Isaiah gave unto these people of Israel that was the remnant of God. You come to chapter number 6, he mentions the king Uzziah. He said, now in the year that Uzziah died, and that was a particular time, when that king died, Isaiah had an occurrence come to him, had something that happened in his life that made a difference, because he said, mine eyes have seen the king, the Lord of hosts. He looked upon the presence of God, and that year that Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne high and lifted up in the temple. And so Isaiah had a vision of who the Lord was and who God was, and it changed his message, it changed his life. And I sort of believe it does the same thing even today. When we see the Lord, when we come to understanding of who God is, it'll change our life. It'll change our position. It'll change our way of looking at things. And Isaiah says, when Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And then he said, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And, of course, in chapter number 7, Isaiah gives us some great things about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to just deal a little bit this today with just an overall message or an overall view of Isaiah concerning not only the Christmas message, but the total message of the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. Now, it is a historical event that we know that Jesus Christ was born. That is something that cannot be denied. It's a historical event that took place that's recorded, not only in the Scripture, but also in other things. And so we know that Jesus Christ was born. We have a human understanding that he was born one day and he lived his life and all those things that pertains unto him. And Isaiah, he sees his people desolate. He sees his people totally away from God. And when this king Uzziah, by the way, which was a good king, and when he dies, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. And he said, I saw him high and lifted up in the temple. He said, I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he gives the message that was given unto him in his day. Now, in chapter number 7 of Isaiah, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture for those of us that know the Word of God and have studied it down through the years. This is a passage that has been mocked and made fun of. It's a passage that has been torn out of some scriptures and some Bibles or some books that call themselves Bibles, and the wording has been changed to water it down. But we're going to read this morning the announcement that Isaiah made concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the coming of our Savior. In chapter 7, let's look in verse number 13. He said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Here we find in this statement that Isaiah makes is immediately the thought of the human reasoning that is impossible. Just in a few words, human reasoning comes to the point of saying that's an impossibility. That will never, that can never, never happen. He says here, the Lord's going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin. Doesn't say young lady, doesn't say young woman. It says, behold, a virgin, one that has never known man, is going to conceive and bring forth a son. That is humanly impossible. But thank God, as a moment ago, as I mentioned, all things are possible with our God. He can take the impossible ways and impossible tasks and make them very easy. And we have it recorded to us in the Scripture. And he says, not only is she going to conceive and bear a son, but you're going to call his name Emmanuel. And this is some 700 to 800 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Yet Isaiah makes a proclamation. He gives his message of what we would call a Christmas message to that group of people that were there totally desolate, totally away from God. But who else, who but a people like that would need a Savior. They needed a deliverer. And Isaiah said, He's on His way. He's coming. And here's the sign of it. When you see a virgin that's conceived and brings a son, his name is Emmanuel, then you know that's the truth. Then you know that Messiah has come. There was no reason in this world, humanly speaking, that the Jews would not have known Jesus Christ other than their just total rejection of the Word of God. For Isaiah said it would happen, and it happened just like he said. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 23. Well, we'll look at verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son. Here we find, of course, the Lord is, the angel is talking and giving the direction and telling what's going to happen. And he's showing to the wise men, or to those that were wise. He says, a son shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, and we know who the prophet is, we've just read it. He says, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. You notice here that he says his name is Emmanuel, and it means that God is with us, and he is a child. Jesus Christ was born as a child, but he came as the Son of God to deliver mankind from their ungodliness and from their wickedness. Over in the Old Testament, Brother Gallagher made mention of it this morning. I believe he even read that in Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that which is ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And so all the way through the Old Testament, we have the message that there is coming a Messiah. Isaiah and Luke tell us and gives us the story and some of the details that Messiah came, and his name was called what? Jesus. His name was called what? Emmanuel. So here Isaiah delivers to us the message of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In these next few weeks in churches across our country and around the world, there will be many messages preached upon the coming and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and rightfully so. But the message doesn't just stop at His birth. Thank God He was born as a child. He was given to us as the Son of God, but He grew and He became a man, and He had tasks that had to be done, had to be provided to mankind so that He would be the deliverer, so that He would be understood as the Messiah. And so this announcement of the birth of Christ came in the midst of much turmoil and much sin, but yet God had someone on the horizon. God had one that was coming, even though it may be 800 years in the future. Isaiah said, when He comes, here's what you know about Him. He's going to be born of a virgin. And that is the sign that God gave, and Matthew tells us about that and gives us the Scripture. And the understanding and the belief this morning of the virgin birth of our Lord is a pivotal doctrine that we stand upon. Without that, there is no doctrine that it would matter anywhere else. Jesus was born just like God said He would be born, and Isaiah proclaimed it 700 years before it actually happened. Not only did Isaiah proclaim His coming, but he proclaimed His character. Just a few verses over, just a few chapters over, in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse number 6, he gives us the character of our Lord. This one that was born of a virgin, this one that the world would say, it's impossible. And by the way, the world still says it's impossible for a virgin to conceive and bring forth a son. Biologically, it is impossible, but with God, it happened just like God said. And therefore, now Isaiah says not only is He going to come a unique way, a different way, but He's going to come with characteristics that are very different than anybody else that has ever been. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. And here we see once again the word child and son used together in the same verse. It says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it." Here we find the characteristics of our Lord. Here we find not only was he born in a unique, different way, but now we find that Isaiah said, "There's something more I need to tell you about this one called Jesus, this one called Emmanuel." He is going to be born as a child, and Jesus was born as a child. Just as a baby is laid into our lap and placed into our home, Jesus Christ was born into that home of Joseph and Mary. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. We know the story. We've heard it over and over again. And so that child was born into that family. But there's more important thing than just a child. I'm glad Jesus didn't stay a little baby. I'm glad I can preach on that. I'm glad we can recognize that. In these next few weeks, we'll be dealing some Sundays on the birth of our Lord. I'm glad we can sort of focus in on that, for it's very important. But I'm glad that's not all there is to say about Jesus Christ. And Isaiah's message was not just his birth, but his characteristics. Not just his coming the first time, but the characteristics of him that did live. And the Bible here tells us, and you can make a message just on this one little point here, that his characteristic was that he shall be called Wonderful. If you know anything about Jesus Christ, you know he's wonderful. If you know anything about the Lord, if you've experienced anything with God, if you've had a relationship and have a relationship with the Lord, you know he is wonderful. What a wonderful Savior we have. Not only that, but he's a counselor. And sometimes folks put together those two words, wonderful counselor, and he is that. But in the Scripture it is divided. He is wonderful and he is a counselor. Now, we all know what a counselor is. It's someone that we can talk to. It's someone that we can depend upon. It's someone that we believe has the answers for our problems. Oh, I'm glad this morning that he's my counselor. He can come to me and he can help me in the struggles of my life and the struggles of your life and the problems that come before us. I'm glad he can come and he's there for us to call upon, and he's there to help us. And he can guide us and can direct us to different places of Scripture. He can impress upon our hearts and our minds certain things that will help us and soothe our needs that we have. Every one of us in here at different times, we are anxious and we have problems and we have unanswered questions. Aren't you glad you have one that you can go to and he can calm all the fears? He can take care of all the needs. He can take care of all the problems. He can... in a moment, he can soothe our troubled souls and our hearts. He's a counselor. Not only is he just wonderful, and not only is he just a counselor, but he's mighty God. He is God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he walked upon this earth, he was born a child, yes, but he grew to be a man, and he was always the Son of God. Never did he become the Son of God. He's always been, always shall be, the Son of God. He's the mighty God, the almighty God. You read the book of, in the New Testament, you read the Gospel of John, and we find out that John said he is that one that is almighty, that Jesus Christ is God. He was in the beginning with God. He was there, and he is the light of God. He's the expression of God. He is God, and John delivers to us infallible proofs that Jesus Christ was deity, his God in the flesh. And so as Isaiah speaks here, he is wonderful. He's counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Praise the Lord. No beginning, no ending with this one. He's the everlasting Father. He's really the Father of eternity. And so we find that Jesus Christ is that one, and his character. He's the Prince of Peace. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, the Bible tells us that as the announcement was made to the angels, it says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You know, that has never been fulfilled. But it was spoken at His birth. There's never been a time that our world has been peaceful. There's always struggles everywhere, all the time. You can read all the history pages, you can read all the chapters of books, and you'll try your best to find, and you'll never find a time when the world was totally at peace. Now, there's been better times than sometimes others, but there's always been struggles, there's always been problems. But when Jesus Christ was born, the Scripture says that He's going to bring peace to all mankind. Well, He's going to do that, it just hasn't happened yet. And as He came, and therefore, one of the characteristics of our Lord is that He is the Prince, or He's the King of Peace. He's the one that's going to give total peace. I'm glad one day He gave it to me spiritually, but one day He's going to give it to this world physically as He rules and reigns upon this earth during His millennial kingdom. Turn with me over just a few chapters. We'll find that He is also a Savior. In Isaiah chapter number 59, Isaiah talks about the Lord's hand. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Notice the problem. The problem that we have in America today is not the Lord's problem, it's our problem. It's not the problem that God can't, it's that we will not. And Isaiah's summation of his condition of his people is the same as we would come up in our life. He says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. It's not that He cannot hear, but He will not hear because of the sin that comes before Him ever continually. He says in verse number 3, your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. Isaiah doesn't give a very good story here, conclusion to the condition of his people. But he comes in, and we're not going to take time, because the rest of the verses in this chapter I bring you down to nothing but total destruction. But you come to verse number 20. Isaiah says, and the deliverer. You know who that is? That's Jesus Christ. And the deliverer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. God says there's coming a deliverer, and He's going to plant within them the seed of the Lord and the message of God. So the character of our Lord, not only was He born of a virgin, but He lived a perfect, pure life. And He gives us some things about Him as being these words that He gives to us there that we looked at in Isaiah chapter number 9. Now turn over to Isaiah chapter 61. We find here in verse number 1, the first part of verse number 2, we find the conduct of this man that we call Jesus. This man they called Messiah. And they called Mighty God. Verse number 1, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the conduct of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to produce and to anoint. He was anointed that he might proclaim liberty to all those that were captivated by sin. And thank God he did that in his life. And one day I believed him. One day, if you're a Christian, you believed him and he set us free. We have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. He opened the prisons. He proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord. We've been given all these things. And these parts that it's referring to the first coming of the Lord, of what Jesus was going to do, and those things mentioned in these verses refer to his first coming, and that's what Jesus did. Oh, but the next part, verse number 2, tells us what he shall do. It says, the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There we find the Lord one day coming and establishing things just as it should be and was going to be in the very beginning. When the Lord's announcement, when God's announcement to the angels and God's announcement to mankind, there's going to be a deliverer. He included all these things in what he would do. He's not just going to be born of a virgin. He's not just going to be a little baby. But he's coming as the Son of God. He's coming as the Son of righteousness. He's coming of one with power and glory and honor. He's one that's going to demand someone to rejoice in him. And we find that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the conclusion of the whole matter. We have the conclusion of what's going to take place. He's going to destroy the nature of sin. He's going to destroy, put down the things of ungodliness and unrighteousness. And it's all going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 17. Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. What a blessing. There's a day coming. Now, this portion of his life, this portion of the message that Isaiah gives is yet in the future. It was really in the future for him because it's still in the future for us. We don't know when this is going to take place. We don't know when this is going to happen. But Isaiah tells us, and other prophets of God in the New Testament tells us, and the book of Revelation tells us that God's going to do away with the old earth. We're going to have a new heaven, a new earth, and there will remain righteousness forever and forever. Isaiah 66, one more chapter over, the last chapter, and verse number 15. And it says, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. We find here in this last chapter of the book of Isaiah that the conclusion of sin is a result of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. And in that statement, and he gives it all the way through the book of Isaiah, we find not only the first coming of our Lord, which we have historical record, we have the Bible, we have history. He came. We have history of what he did. He did exactly what the Scripture said he would do. But now we are looking forward to the day that he shall come again. I believe it's soon. I believe he's coming. I believe it's just around the corner. That the Lord is going to descend. He's going to come. And he's going to bring justice to all the iniquity and all the sin of this world. And so when we preach a Christmas message, per se, when we call it that, we're really preaching a message of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end of time. Because if he had not come the first time, he would not have been able to come the second time. And when he comes a second time, the Bible says he's going to put away all unrighteousness, all ungodliness. And every knee shall bow. Every eye is going to behold him, going to look upon him. Israel's going to recognize him as that one whom they rejected. And they're going to fall on their face. And the Bible says a nation will be born in a day. And I believe that means be born again. They're going to look on him whom they pierced. They that cried, let his blood be on our hands and our children's and children's children's hand. The curse of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon them. But they're going to look upon him. They're going to recognize that's who Isaiah told us about. Born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died for sinners, coming back to establish his kingdom. That is the message of Isaiah. And it starts out with the message of Christmas, or the coming of our Lord. In these next few weeks, we'll hear and I'll probably give different messages on the subject of the birth of our Lord and what a very precious, precious doctrine that is. But never let us think that he stayed there. He didn't stay a child. He was born a child, as Isaiah said. He was born a child, as Matthew said, but he's given to the world as the Son of God. In fact, this would call upon him, he'd save them from their sins. That is our message. That's the message we have to proclaim, that and that alone. Let's stand together this morning.